So there's a bookstore on the hill called the House of Books. Has anyone been in this bookstore? Anybody know of this bookstore on Muswell Hill? Yeah. And very prominently displayed, there is a book rack on the outside. And the book rack says, it's got these wrapped books. And I think it says something to the tune of mystery date with a book, something of this nature, mystery date of a book. And so the idea is that you don't know what you're getting. You buy the book, you take it home, and you're surprised by what you find. What did I get to read? What am I getting? Now suppose instead of having a mystery book, you have a mystery box, all wrapped up. You begin to open it up, and it has thousands of pieces and an IKEA-like instruction manual. And they don't tell you what you're ultimately building. And so you're screwing things in, and what do I have to do next? And you're turning this thing around, and you're putting this over this and whatnot. And you're thinking to yourself, what is this thing that I am building here? And do I really want to build it? But what does the Bible say? We're finishing a series called Simply Add. And the purpose of this series is to make light of this fact that we Christians must grow. We must have forward motion. And if we're not moving forward, we might be drifting away. In fact, we might say, if you're not moving forward, you're very likely drifting away. And we don't say these things to hurt anyone's feelings. We say it to safeguard them. And this is what it says. If we continue to grow, if we continue to do the exercises that we've looked through, if we continue to allow our faith to turn into action, to turn into godliness, to give us self-control, to do these things, we will not be unfruitful. We will not stumble. We will be assured that our election is true, that we are actually called by God, and we will be certain of heaven. This is all out of 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. So it's my hope, I really hope, that we've begun to implement a few of these little rules that we've talked about each Sunday. And as we're doing this, we might ask, what exactly am I becoming here? What am I transforming into? What's the end goal? What's the master plan for me as I put these into practice? And the answer to that is love. The answer to that is love. That is what we are being built into. By progressing in faith, we eventually become loving and self-sacrificial. By progressing in faith, we eventually become loving and self-sacrificial. The goal of our lives now, we who believe in Christ, the Bible says, is that we would become like Christ. And the very picture of Christ is selfless, sacrificial love. This is what we have signed up for if we believe. Let's start with this. The goal of our faith is Christ-reflecting love. The goal of our maturing faith is Christ-reflecting love. So if you're not there already, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 4. We're going to be starting in verse 7, and we're going to take just these first few verses. We'll read a little bit more, but we're really going to dive into these first few verses. So 4:7. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." So those words, "dear friends," in the original words, it's actually something of like beloved. It has the word love in it. Beloved, and it's a rich word. And what it means is you are loved in the family of God, because God has loved you. God has sent Jesus to die for you and brought you out of being a foreigner and into his presence and joined you to his church, and now you are beloved. You've been loved by God, and now you are dear to us by default of being in God's family. So those loved by God love others. those lavishly loved by God love others. Verses 9 through 11 say essentially the same thing. So listen to all these words and you'll hear it again. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It's the same thing. God has loved us. God has brought us in through the miraculous and incredible love that Jesus showed. And now he says, because you have been loved, it is my call upon you that you would love. If you've been loved, you must love. He demonstrated his love. He didn't stay, right? It wasn't about us. You see, it says not that we have loved God. And when it says not that we loved God, it means this was never a factor in God's love for us. The love that we would give him or the love that we did give him in the past, it was not a factor. His love saved the day, and he gave absolutely all of himself for us in Jesus. And if you look at the cross and you wonder, what does this event mean? And the cross means that God has given everything for you so that you can be with him. He's given it all. He's laid it all down. He couldn't lay down more than he has laid down in giving us Jesus. And if he has loved us so massively, we need to massively love everyone else. If he's loved us so massively, we must massively love. What is the first thing that occurs in your head when you think of church? Is it obligation? Is it a desire that it would not go too long? Is it, I wonder what mistakes will happen in the PowerPoint today? It's often not love. It's often not love. It's not, this is a challenge for me. Let's make church about God's incredible love because we're called to it. And the question is that has Jesus not loved us enough to do that? Has Jesus not loved me enough to do that? Of course he has. Love begets love. If you have been loved, go and love one another. Love one another, for love comes from, who does it come from? God. Love's only source is God. It's explicit in the original language. The love, the thing we call love, it only comes from God. We were driving in the Cotswold, which was brilliant, by the way. If you haven't been, I highly recommend it. And there was a big sign out that said, it was an arrow, and it pointed to take this road if you wanted to see the origin of the Thames. So the idea is that the river starts there, and then it, you know, slowly becomes the wonderful thing that goes through the middle of London. But it is not true that that is the origin of the Thames. It is one of the origins of the Thames. There's lots and lots of tributaries. There's lots and lots of rainwater collecting in various places. But this is the idea with God, that every bit of water, every bit of love comes from him. It comes from him. And so to grow, we must be connected to the source. We must have a relationship with God. If you want to be someone who is known as loving, you must know God. It is from him. And we are like the hose, and God is like the water. His love is like the water passing through us. It's not ours by default. It's a gift given. We are like middlemen, and God has produced this wonderful product, and we take that product into our hands, and God has said, please pass this on to the general public. Give my love to them, from me to them, and you in the middle. Be the conduit. Cling to him. Let's look at the second part of verse 7 here. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. Now, on the face of it, someone might say, this is false. The Bible is not being honest here. The Bible is not being truthful. And they say, I know plenty of non-Christians. I know plenty of non-Christians who are quite loving, right? More loving than myself, if I'm just being honest. They're more loving than I am. And the issue here is that those words for the one who loves, it's not a one-off of love, like they showed love this one time. And it's not that they regularly show love. It's not even that they're an incredibly loving parent that lays down their life for their children. In fact, I think that God has given us parenthood so that we would learn a little bit, a little taste of what it means to really love. This is, the person is defined by this self-sacrificial love. It has come to dominate their life. Day in, day out, they are living for God and for others. And I can only illustrate this with Brian and Joy. I miss them so much. They are always thinking about others. They are always doing what is necessary to help someone up. They are always thinking, I will display God's love to people. And people look at it and they say, hold on, where did this come from? I got to figure this out. This is like a not of this world love. This is like something has transpired to transform. And I want to know what it is. And the text tells us here it is because they have been born of God. They've been born again. And they have come to know God. They have a relationship with him. And out of that deep abiding relationship with God comes forth fruit and fruit and fruit and beauty. And it's something that we should aspire to do. Who will be the next Brian and Joy of this church? And some of you are doing some wonderful things. And I just say, keep developing. Keep developing. And that challenge is for me, especially. And the other thing is not true too here, right? People not living for love are not from God. Not having that self-sacrificial lifestyle of day in, day out loving, but even being not about loving others, but about loving themselves, it indicates that there is a lack of relationship with the Lord. We Christians, we really must hear what God is saying here. Have we made church about something other than growing in Christ's love for us and desiring to love others? Are we here to love one another? Are we doing the things that would bring each other closer, or are we doing things that would drive each other away? And if the things that are driving people away happen to come down to us, right? How can we work through those things and say, I want to serve instead of be served? And we have to remember, if we are struggling, right, have we missed all the love that Christ has given us? We have been loved massively. We must love massively. And see, the verse ends here with God is love. A wonderful statement, but it needs clarification. It's not saying love is God. It's not saying that love is a pleasurable emotion that we should seek above all things, kind of a floaty, wonderful concept of love. And pleasurable emotions, they follow truth, okay, sometimes. But God is definitely not that emotion. What is being said here is that God is the very definition of self-sacrificial, relational love. He is the very definition of what it means to self-sacrificially give yourself in love. And as we've said, he demonstrates that in what was done for us on the cross. We like to think that love is something else besides what we see at the cross. That feels odd to us. But that is God's heart of love displayed for us. By progressing in faith, we eventually become loving and self-sacrificial. a second thing to consider, the way to the goal of love is this progression that we've had. The way to the goal of love is this progression. When I was in secondary school, I did some weight training. I decided I wanted to try it. And so I entered the gym for the first time, and I thought, right, I think the amount that I should be able to lift, well, everybody is impressed with lifting 12 stone, okay? I think that's impressive. I better try to lift 12 stone. And so this is precisely what I did, yeah? Because this is what people said, you know, lift 12 stone, you're quite buff. And I thought I had some muscles anyway. And did it succeed? Was I able to do this? No, of course not, right? Because if you just think that walking in with your atrophied arms exactly as they are and doing no exercises whatsoever and not starting with something small and then building up over the course of perhaps a year, you're never ever going to lift the heavy weight. Do the exercises, develop the muscles, keep moving forward, and you'll eventually get there. Okay, so let's read our theme verse again. Which should be behind us. There it is. Let's just read it together. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. This is a progression from something light to something quite heavy. And we can't go from first faith to I sacrifice myself for others every day and night, right? And I'm living for God's love. We can't go and jump that over a day, over a month, even over a year. It's a gradual process. You are not like a seed that pops up in a couple months and you have a crop. You're like an oak tree, slowly and progressively getting more and more filled to full, and then finally flowering at the end. And so the first application from our series is to exercise these out. If you want to become someone who is filled with love, you want to be a lover, you got to jump through the hoops. If you want a mortgage, you got to fill out lots of paperwork. There's lots and lots of hoops, isn't there? If you want to change the structure of the trustees, okay, this is what we're doing right now. And let me tell you, Lisa has done such a fabulous job, but there's tons and tons of paperwork, tons and tons of paperwork to go through, and it's amazing that anyone can do it. And this is okay. This is part of the process of really getting to the thing that you want. And if you want to be filled with love, you have to do more than simply desire that. You're going to have to do something every day. You're going to have to build your faith every day. You're going to have to go through this set of things and think, am I doing these things? Am I progressing in my faith? And so on that note, I have actually this series. It's got each of our descriptions, exercises that we can use to grow in our faith. And I thought this would be a great thing to pass out to you. And here's what I'd like you to think about. I'd like you to think about as you go, it could fit in your wallet, I suppose, or your purse. But you don't have to do that. I have another idea. But I'd like you to be thinking each day, am I progressing with my faith? Let me just work through this. Am I living out God's goodness in virtue? Am I practicing self-control? Am I persevering in running after the Lord and not turning aside to other things? It's a great way to say every day, where am I at, God? Where am I at with you? And so I'm going to pass these out. But I also suggest I do something each morning, which is I create a new to-do list for the day. And I spend, 5-10 minutes kind of thinking deeply about this. And on the top of my to-do list, sometimes I have verses to aspire to. And this is a great verse. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Add to your knowledge self-control. Add to your self-control perseverance. Add to your perseverance godliness. Add to godliness brotherly love. Add to brotherly love love. All right, and say, I want that today. what can I do in part so that that reflects what I'm doing for my Lord today? Okay, so anyway, I'll pass these out in just a second, but I would really encourage you to take something from this sermon. What? This right here. I'm going to dedicate myself. You know what? I'm going to the gym every other day. I'm going to go to the gym of faith every day. Yeah. Second useful thing is to say that these things are a diagnostic that demonstrate our weakness. What do we lack? Is it faith? Do we not really believe God's words? What do we lack? Is it virtue? Are we not really doing anything for the truth that God has planted in our heart? What do we lack? Are we without self-control? Or perhaps we are following God one day passionately, and then later on we're just far from him, and we wonder, why am I not persevering? These reveal weaknesses in us, and take them to heart and say, I'm going to exert a little bit more pressure towards this one. This one's an issue for me. I'm going to work at this until I can give it to the Lord. Third, a grateful and appropriate and even demanded response to being loved is this: to continue in our faith and to be built up into love. It is grateful, it is appropriate, it is demanded by God. God hasn't said, Tim, I have loved you, but do whatever you like with the rest of your life. You don't need to focus on becoming someone made in my image. God has not said that to me, and he's not said it for you either. He has said, I have loved you, now take up your cross and follow after me daily. And he's not given us the choice of just saying, let's be good friends and I'll say some good stuff about you. And when I need you, you'll be there for me, but otherwise, I'm going to determine how I live my life and what I want to do. And so what I would say is, if love, Christ's love, his self-sacrificial love, if that is not your one thing, can I just urge you to change your thinking straight away and to make Christ the one thing you live for, and then go and demonstrate that love. Let's make it practical. Think about people that you've hurt. If you can think of people that you've hurt, may I just encourage you, especially Christians that you've hurt, may I just encourage you to go to them and apologize. Go to the one that you have wronged and say, I have done you wrong, and I don't want to continue to not even countenance it. I am sorry, and I want your forgiveness, and I want to change. Okay, let's turn it around. Someone has done you wrong, a believer in Christ. And because you love them, you go to them and you tell them, because I love you, I will tell you what you have done wrong to me. I'm not going to let it build up. I'm not going to bury it and feel frustrated. I'm going to speak to you. We need short change with one another. We need it. If we do not give and receive mercy and grace, we're done. And if we do not say, you've hurt me, we're also done. These are the things that are necessary for love. Let us love one another. But that is all remote. It must begin with me. So I will lay down my life for you. I will be, hopefully, as much as I can, Christ's love to you. Come to me and tell me if I'm hurting you. Come to me and show me how I can do it better. Let's love one another. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the love of Christ, a love that Christ that tells us, I have loved you, you must love others. May our hearts become full with the love that you lavish upon us. May our hearts be brimful of the Son of God whose blood was poured out so that we might live. And let us love as you have loved. Please, Lord, I ask, may we grow day by day. May this series not slip away into the memory hole of time. We determine we will continue to walk forward into love until we are molded into the image of Christ. And we all say, amen.